right, welcome back in. Just another football show. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Guys. we are back. This is how we're going to do it today. I know, it may sound a little different. I should sound just fine. Ryan might sound a little Skype machine-ish, but that's probably for good reason. Ryan's on the Skype machine. And Jam is a little unavailable today. Life happens. Construction happens. My street is torn up, so Ryan's on Skype. Trying to find a new recording spot wasn't the easiest thing in the world to do. So Jam said, you know what? I got the kids tonight. Instead of everyone being able to just hear the children in the background, why don't you guys just do it on Skype, and then we'll reconvene next week to recap things. And me and Ryan, being as lazy as possible, said, oh, I don't have to leave my house? Awesome. Let's do that.
I'm always on board for a Skype session. I know it's not as good, you know, it's better to be in the studio, but when it comes to mock drafts, which I'm going to give my mock draft tonight, I need all the tools in front of me, you know, so sitting at my command center here, I think it's a good setup.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it down just a little bit. Okay, we're gonna get through a little bit of news first. There wasn't a whole lot, but some things to go over. It has been a minute since we got together, right? So we took last week off because, well, construction and life happened. finding a place to record last week was on the plus side. I think I'm going to be able to get the basement studio back together, and if we pick the right recording dates/times, we should be able to still make this work. But for now, draft is this week. We have to get Ryan's mock draft. Make sure you guys are heading on over and filling out your mock draft, your first round mock. See if you can beat Ryan. We've had a couple people beat him over the years, but Ryan usually beats most. So yeah. No pressure, Ryan. No pressure at all.
We got a little swag to give out too, you know.
Oh, we got some mugs merch and stuff, some glasses. Those are my favorite. Yeah, we'll have some things. So if you beat him, we'll get a hold of you. Let's go over a little bit of news. Not a whole lot, but some things. Let's see. Josh Allen, not the one you're thinking of, but the other one.
Oh.
Or maybe the one you're thinking of. Depends on what team you're a fan of, but not the one that comes immediately to mind. Did, in fact, sign a brand new deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. 5 years, $150 million. $88 million guaranteed. Broke the franchise sack record last year. Well-deserved. Getting it done. Getting their premier players lined up.
Yeah, the Jags have done a lot of work this offseason on both sides of the ball. You know, brought in Eric Armstead, Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage comes over from Green Bay. So locking up one of their premier guys, Josh Allen, who's probably the franchise guy on the defensive side of the ball, that's a no-brainer. He's obviously earned the contract, but to be the face of the franchise as well, that's why he gets paid a little extra premium. So good deal for him, good deal for the Jags, keeps everything uniform across the board. And hopefully this year, at least for Jags fans, hopefully – it is better results than it was last year.
Yeah. I feel like the league might be taunting me slightly as one of the topics that I like to bring up after the Super Bowl. Jam's not here for me to poke and prod at it as much, is trying to figure out what that first game of the year is going to be. We don't know that, but we do know what the second game of the year is going to be. We are getting the Eagles and Packers down in Brazil.
Yeah, on a Friday night.
Friday night.
That's awesome. Like, we'll get the first night on Thursday. We'll get the second night, the little, like, encore on Friday night. Eagles, Packers there. Is it Sao Paulo, Brazil?
Too. Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. And apparently, there's a huge following, NFL football following in Brazil as well. So the whole country is going to turn up for that as well.
In a soccer stadium that bans the color green, we have the Packers and Eagles.
I feel like, how strict are those kind of rules?
Probably
right?
Not going to be too strict with that game, I'd have to think. There's going to be a lot of green worn, as it were. So, yeah, still no word on an actual schedule release. I have a feeling maybe we'll get that news during the draft this weekend. Usually, I think that's how we get it going. We'll get here's when the schedule is going to be announced too. They want to keep that news train a rolling.
It's like the little hamster feeder water bottle. We keep suckling at the little bit of news we get from the NFL here, and it basically like sustains us through the entire offseason. It keeps this show going. It keeps us talking football the entire year round for little things like, oh, here's the schedule release, which they make a whole spectacle of. But really, they could just put out an Excel document. We'd all be cramming over that too. So we're all fools for it, and we love it every second of it.
Big facts. DeForest Buckner signed a new contract with the Colts, 2-year deal, $46 million. That's, again, teams locking up their guys.
Yeah, the Colts have been really good about, like you said, locking up their guys, not big splashy free agency players, anything like that. Joe Flacco, I guess. But keeping their guys around and building their team has kind of been the hallmark for the Colts for a long time. Chris Ballard there, the GM, has done a fantastic job. Getting your guys a second contract is basically a validation that you drafted well, or in this case, traded for DeForest Buckner. And was worth the first-round pick he gave up for him. So kudos to the Colts. Kudos to Chris Ballard for masterfully playing free agency, offseason, draft, all that.
Your boy Smitty also got an extension there in Philly.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I knew this was going to be.
Smitty being good covers up the fact that they drafted Jalen Reagor the year before.
It's yeah, that's big facts. That's true. That was not a great work, but they're getting it done now. Let's see, that J.K. Dobbins finally got his landing spot there in Los Angeles with the Chargers.
The Chargers picked up Gus Edwards too, so they basically just.
I hear they're going to be a power running team.
The Ravens running back room from the other Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's. We're going to see what they do in the draft. I got some questions about this. And some weird things happened today that maybe may or may not come up to have a conversation about. We had some teams with new uniforms. I don't know how much we actually give a shit about this. So we had the Jets, Texans, Broncos. I feel like there was one more, but maybe not. That all
the Lions. Had kind of a all of these are fairly similar. Like, I don't think any of them are huge swings or anything like that, but there are some good notes from all of that. I like the fact that the Lions are getting like the black uniforms back, which apparently is a Dan Campbell thing that he asked for. And then obviously the showstopper was the throwback uniform for the Broncos. Should be their permanent uniform. That's what everyone's saying. I agree. But the throwback is very clean.
Yeah. Hate the Broncos. Love that uniform. I contrary to my normal stance with the black uniforms, that Lions one, just, I don't know what it is, but it looks off to me. I don't like
it's
it a lot.
It's not like,
I don't know if it's the
black,
helmet,
right?
Or yeah, if it's just the tone on it doesn't work. I don't know. I'm a fan of all of the teams in the black with the color accents. But that one I just didn't really like. So,
the Texans one feels mostly the same. I do think it got leaked. With some of the draft stuff that's going on in Detroit, so Houston had to kind of release it today. It looks fine. Obviously, it feels very much like the Houston Texans are ushering in a new era, so the uniforms make sense. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, they're trying.
Teams like the Broncos or the Jets doing it, that feels weird.
They're money grabs. Specifically the Broncos.
The Jets ones look virtually the same to me. Yeah. Like, obviously, they got away from some of the stuff that kind of stuck out and didn't look great, but this is by far the worst medium to discuss what uniforms look like on a podcast.
True. You've all seen them. You've all seen them. Yeah. You all know. There were conversations about them in the Facebook group. Speaking of the Jets and Broncos, they made a little trade. Zach Wilson found himself a new home in Denver. They are they're splitting his remaining compensation of like $5.5 million, and then it was like a late round pick swap, I think. I don't have the details.
So it was Zach Wilson in a 7th for a 6th.
Yeah.
So it really was not a whole lot for either team. I do think it's a good kind of restart for Zach. We'll see how he does with Sean Payton there. Obviously, Sean Payton has a pretty good track record with quarterbacks. So we'll see how that goes. Like, if they played a game tomorrow, I think Zach Wilson might be the starting quarterback for the Broncos. It's Zach Wilson, Jarrett Stidham, and then Ben DiNucci is the quarterback room right now. Obviously, anticipation is that they draft a quarterback, but man.
Well, we talked about this, and I mean, obviously, we'll get to your mock, and we're only doing one round, so other things can, in fact, happen with the quarterback position during the draft weekend. But I was the guy saying maybe don't draft a quarterback and just go get someone that was available. I said Ryan Tannehill, but this is fine too. I think the plan's just going to be to lose and stockpile some draft capital going forward.
I think so too.
But we'll see what you have them doing there in the draft. Kansas City re-signed their big three in the front office there, team president, GM and head coach, Reed Veach and Donovan. No real details on how long or whatever, but when you win two Super Bowls, you get re-signed. That's just sort of how it works, kids, if you're ever wondering.
It's all like that. That's got to be one of the best big three, if you like you said, one of the best big threes in the league, probably the best. You know, obviously what Philly is doing there. Howie's a great GM and good organization, but Siri, Siri's kind of the weak link, maybe.
Yeah.
But it does feel like that this is the best unit in the league as far as cohesion between front office, coaching, everything, and it shows up, obviously. So, well deserved.
I was scrolling through Twitter here just to sort of get caught up on news and make sure I didn't miss anything. Apparently, the Broncos did, in fact, pick up the fifth-year option on Patrick Surtain, which
is
interesting. We are in that time of season, right, where these fifth-year options are going to have to get figured out. I don't know who all is in the running for that. That'll be a conversation for another day as these things start rolling in, but we are at that point of the season as well. And apparently, Darren Waller is getting divorced, so...
Yeah, after 13 months, him and Kelsey Plum.
Yeah, he was trending, and I thought, did he finally decide if he was going to retire or not? And it turns out no. So there you go.
Does getting divorced help, like the cause that he sticks around and plays a little bit more football, or is this like an indication that he's making some big life changes? I don't know. I don't know what it means for your fantasy rosters when the mock drafts hit. But
I think you're just talking to me specifically on that. I appreciate that, Ryan.
Is this because of the clip from the women's Final Four tournament where she was acting a little goofy with the popcorn?
No details, man. No details.
Is
no
this
details.
The first he saw it? Is this the glass breaking he saw? He's like, oh no.
Well, I mean, I don't give a shit if I'm being honest. Like I said, I saw he was trending, and I assumed it had something to do with his unsure if he was going to retire or not situation, and clicked on it and found out otherwise. So.
Kelsey Plum, if you're listening, what's up?
Ryan's available. Ryan's available. We got open space on the podcast. If you'd like to pop on and either give us the details or just talk a little football or life. We're coming up to the summer season. We'll do some mock draft. We can mock draft whatever it is you'd like. We'll do it. So
I will say I am fantasy draft, I suppose. Not mock draft. I'm a new onboarded WNBA fan. So.
Might actually be going to a game in July, so that's cool. All right, that's all. Any other news that you can think of off the top of your head? I know you're probably not staring at it, so
all the news I would say
you're in draft mode.
News is just draft news,
sure.
And it's legitimately probably not news. It's like this team is willing to move up or move down or whatever, which is not news, but. Does affect the rest of the show.
Yeah, so I'll keep my eyes on things if anything happens while we're doing this. The rest of this episode is going to be Ryan heavy. So we are in draft week. The draft starts on Thursday, round one. As I said earlier, make sure you guys are getting over there and filling out your first round to go head-to-head with Ryan. It costs you nothing, and maybe you beat him, and you got some bragging rights there on the Twitter and on the Facebook. A couple things before we dive right into Ryan's mock draft. For anyone interested, I looked it up this morning because it is a thing. Ryan, I think you're in the same boat as me. Draft Day is in fact streaming on Peacock, so
nice. Good to know.
You can pop that on Thursday morning if you'd like. I will be doing that. So there's that. Ryan, what's the draft day looking like for you? What you doing? And this isn't me trying to get an invite to whatever you're doing.
I do work. Normally I would take the day off, I'm working that day, but got the next day off. Wide open. Plan was to sit at the computer and watch it with a case of beer.
That's where my plan is currently. So
me and 12 frosty friends.
There you go. Should be a good time. Do you just want to dive into this? I don't know if you have a preference on. I mean, obviously we're going to just run it 1 to 32.
Yeah,
we're not gonna do. I mean, you can do whatever you want with your picks, man. Right? Like, we've had this conversation on air before. If you throw a player at 32 because you think someone's going to come back in and the Chiefs are going to trade that pick away, I understand that. We're not necessarily projecting trades, but maybe you are. I don't know. The points system at a certain point starts rewarding you for getting the pick at the position right over the team. So,
yeah, I don't know that there's a good.
There is
good
absolutely
way
not
scoring.
There's absolutely not a good way to score a mock draft.
I will say, like you were pointing out, no projection on trades, right? When we do the form, we do the contest, it is just 1 through 32, every team at their current spot, and you put in the player that you think they will take there. If you want to, you know, meta game a little bit and play the game, into the contest a little bit more, fully free to do. I do that a little bit, and I'll explain when we get to it in the draft, but... Yeah, no projection of trades, which this year could be crazy for trades based on how the draft shakes out. And then I'm only doing the one mock draft. I've done a bunch, but I'm only doing the one official mock draft for the show, and that's what will get put into the contest if it isn't by the time you're listening. So
yep.
What you hear is what's in the contest. If you beat that, you win, and we got some swag for you.
There you go. Let's see. I was what was I going to ask you about? There was some. Oh, I don't know if you have any of the bets that you're interested in.
I do.
I'm putting you on the spot there. Maybe we get through this fast enough, we can talk about a few of those, because I got a few that I kind of like that I think will get answered your feeling on as we go through the mock draft. A lot of it will, obviously, but maybe we can run over some of those there at the end of the show. Give the people a little opportunity to fade us on some picks, because that's the way to do this, right? All right.
I don't know. Draft I did all right on last year.
Yeah, that's just true. Fair enough. All right, let's get it started. I can't imagine you're going anywhere other than Caleb Williams at the number one pick to Chicago, but dazzle me if you're not.
Well, I will say Bears GM Ryan Poles did say they know what they're going to do. They're not at the point where they're announcing that it's going to be Caleb Williams right now, and if you want to know what they do, you have to tune in on Thursday night. That's exactly what he said. We all know it's going to be Caleb Williams. I have that there. I think Bears fans I'll throw myself into that category for this, are mourning the loss of Justin Fields, but you know, progressing through the five stages of grief to now being acceptance for Caleb Williams. Most of the criticisms of Caleb Williams are kind of weird. I think someone tried to derogatorily or something compare him to Prince recently. I don't understand the comparison there. Prince was one of the greatest musicians of all time. So take it as a compliment.
Yeah.
I do think that Chicago is probably the second most difficult town to play football in besides New York. So haters and losers will be coming at Caleb all, fast and furious, but I do think that he has the maturity, the physical on the field ability, and the leadership off the field to do just fine. Obviously going into not a great situation, but Chicago is set up fairly well. They've done well the last couple of years. Poles has done a great job at GM, getting pieces around him, building the other side of the ball on the defense as well. So I think Caleb is going into probably one of the better situations for a number one overall pick that we've seen in a few years. And Bryce Young can only cry and imagine what it would be like if he had a receiver like DJ Moore. So Caleb Williams, number one overall to Chicago.
Big surprise. All right, number two. This is where, and numbers change. They've changed fast and furious when it comes to the betting markets. I sent you a screenshot of a bet, not necessarily the two pick, but I think the two pick decides the three pick. At number two, the Washington Commanders are on the clock.
And apparently they've been receiving phone calls left and right. The only solid name I've heard tied to someone trying to move up to number two has been the Raiders. But new Washington GM Adam Peters has basically said they're comfortable sticking there. I'm sure that the Taj Mahal of deals came along, he'd accept it and move away. But I think it would take quite a bit for them to move off. They've allegedly or supposedly found their guy. That could be all smokescreen. That could be all bluster. But turning down people who are calling you really does seem like they have their guy picked out. They're ready to go and they're ready to hit the ground running. So with the number two overall pick, The Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback from LSU.
All right.
It does mirror a little bit the draft, 12 years ago, when they drafted RG3, a good dual threat quarterback coming off a Heisman. We can just hope that this is the new look Washington franchise and they handle Jaden Daniels better than they handled RG3.
Yeah. So you're chalk so far.
Yes. And
only two picks in.
I feel like that is pretty much, or Jaden Daniels being two, is kind of, we know who's going one. So two is kind of where the draft hinges. It does feel strongly like everyone has kind of jumped on board that number two is going to be Jaden Daniels. So maybe really the draft starts at number three.
It seems to be maybe that way. So at number three, my computer's freezing out. All right, cool. Sorry. Number three, the New England Patriots, who I hear are taking phone calls, open for absolutely. Business. But what do you think they do here?
I absolutely think that they're open for phone calls. They have a lot that needed to address. Basically, the entire offensive side of the board needs to be drafted or, players signed or fixed. Quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver all need help in those departments. So I do strongly believe that the Patriots will move down. They'll take the phone calls. They'll move down. Team might change, but no matter what, to me, the player is the same. If Patriots stick and they draft this guy, they're fine. If another team moves up and drafts, then they're fine. The Patriots come out in the end. So right now, with the way the contest is set up and the way I have the mock draft, number three overall pick, the New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. If they do, in fact, stay here and draft Drake May, great pick, could reset the franchise for them. His ability to move around in the pocket helps a team that is kind of struggling, right? I've always kind of been able to see the flashes of quarterbacks with the mobility when there's not a lot of guys around. It buys them a little time if the Patriots do sit here and draft Drake May, it gives them a little time to build up around him. And maybe, get the franchise back to where it's been, because the last couple of years have been brutal. Obviously, anyone stepping into Tom Brady's shoes was going to have a tough time. I do think that the Mac Jones experiment, I'm going to call it that, the Mac Jones experiment ended poorly, as everyone pretty much anticipated, but I don't think anyone could have done well in that position. So Mac Jones kind of gets the brunt of it, and he didn't do himself many favors. But now, this year, even if they don't sit here and draft Drake May, if they move back, I do think they will draft a quarterback, and this will kind of kickstart the franchise. It really does. New head coach, new kind of GM, everything does feel like new start for the Patriots. So we'll have to see how they kick that off. But if they do stay here, number three, Drake May, no problem, no brainer. Third best, in my opinion, third best quarterback on the big board.
Yeah. I think number four, pick number four is where the draft actually starts, even though I think it's probably pretty well sealed as well, but maybe not. This is where maybe I think you could start seeing some moving, but number four right now, the Arizona Cardinals have to pick.
Yeah, and the Cardinals have, from last year's draft, they moved around quite a bit. They have amassed quite a few picks. They have six picks within the top 90. Only three of those are their own. The other three are, a couple from the Texans and Titans. So they do have quite a bit of ammo. Monty Austin Fort, the new GM, has said, they're listening to all the phone calls. He was the GM last year when they kind of executed all these trades. We saw that he waited until draft day to start making those trades. So I do think that, like you said, four could be where the draft truly starts and where things could truly get wild because, top three quarterbacks will be gone. There are still teams that need quarterbacks. They'll likely move up. Maybe someone likes an offensive lineman that'll be gone before they get a chance. Wide receivers are huge in this draft too. But if the Cardinals stick and stay, which they have enough picks where they could make up for on the back end and dress the rest of their offense as well, they get a stud here. So right now I have number four pick. The Cardinals select Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. I think I am 4-for-4 chalk right now.
Yes, you sure are. And I think I line up with you on all of those. I believe I have a little less belief that the Patriots are moving out of that three spot at all, but I'm lining up with you here. At number five, the Los Angeles Chargers get sent over a thing today that apparently the odds on the Chargers drafting a quarterback shifted drastically, and then I think they shifted back is what ended up happening. I don't know. Things on Reddit can adjust betting odds. Like as of right now, like we saw it last year, right? With the year before.
Last year was really bad. I think last year was kind of the first time that this giant culture of app like gambling anonymous. And sports betting tied in with the draft, and last year was particularly bad about it. I think this time last year, 2 days before the draft last year, odds on favorite was Will Levis would be the number two overall pick.
Yeah, there was some rumblings from obviously not reliable sources, but people claiming to be reliable sources on the internet saying they knew stuff. I sort of chalk it up to that. I did hear a long-winded the Chargers could trade Herbert, and Jim Harbaugh has said over and over that J.J. McCarthy had the best pro day he'd ever seen. So, restart and go get your guy if you firmly believe that. But I think you're full of shit. long story short, what do you have the Chargers doing? Who do you have them taking here at 5?
We'll talk about J.J. McCarthy later. I think 5 is also a spot where the Chargers could be getting some phone calls, right? Depending on how 3 or 4 go, the Chargers could be in a spot here. Could be someone wants to jump up and take something that they might need. This is the first spot where I actually kind of play the contest a little bit more. So that you have to hear me out on this. So I think the draft will end up with the Chargers moving back. Mm-hmm. So they won't have a shot at the top, or a great wide receiver here. They won't have a shot at the top tackle because they'll end up in like the 11-12 range. So I actually have the Chargers taking J.C. Latham. He's a tackle. He's a right tackle out of Alabama. He's not going to be the first offensive lineman taken. He's not going to be, top 5 pick like he is on this mock draft. But when the contest comes around, I will get the bonus points for having the right player going to the right team. So I'm playing the game.
You're kind of a wash right there because it's the 5 spot. So each are worth 5 points. So
exactly.
From this point forward, it's a little more important to have the position than the team. But these first 5 picks, you're better off having the team correct.
So. Exactly. And what did I do? I overthought it. Yeah. Overthinking is the dumbest thing you can do.
That's big facts.
Likely what will happen is they'll stay pat and they'll draft either the top offensive lineman available, Joe Alt, or the second wide receiver available, Malik Nabers. That's likely what will happen. But playing the game, I have them taking J.C. Latham. I do think when the season starts, J.C. Latham will be a Charger.
So that is what, the number 5 pick? Do you know who the favorite to be picked at number 5 is?
If I had to guess, that's what I'm asking you to do. Joe Alt.
The current favorite at the number 5 pick is actually J.J. McCarthy at plus 240. Ah. We're in plus money at this point. Joe Alt plus 425, which I don't hate. If they just did the
I have
sexy thing.
A handful of bets too that I've already placed.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, moving on. At number 6, we have the New York Football Giants.
Yes, and this is an interesting one because they need a good handful of things, one of which may or may not include quarterback, right? Obviously, a lot has been said about Daniel Jones and the contract and this and that. I do believe this is the last year of guaranteed money on his contract, either this year or next year is. So they're not really stuck with Daniel Jones. This absolutely could be a quarterback. If they love a guy, Dable did not draft Daniel Jones. Dable is not beholden to Daniel Jones. Dable can go out and get his guy if he wants. But I think – I don't know if he could sit at 6 and guarantee to get one of the top quarterbacks. So I do think that they're going to have to go outside. They either have to move up, which seems like a stretch, or they're going to have to get a different position. So I think later might be a quarterback. They're going to stick with Daniel Jones. So for right now – I have number 6 overall, the New York Football Giants select Malik Nabers, wide receiver out of LSU. He's the second best wide receiver in the draft, in the big board. It's a position they desperately need. They've tried to kind of address, but right now they're starting 3 wide receivers, Wandale Robinson, Darius Slayton, and Jalen Hyatt.
It's not great. Their pass catching situation there is
desperately
not great.
Need someone. Yep. So.
Malik Nabers. I hate to break it to you, Ryan. You're chalk on that pick as well.
I figured I was.
It's not super close, but yeah.
They could go offensive line. They've addressed offensive line quite a bit in the draft, but they still need like they have basically what if they played football today, they'd have three new starters. Evan Neal, the guy they drafted a couple years back, would be a backup right now, so that's not a great sign. So they could go address their offensive line. Maybe Darren Waller retires and they need to get, you know, they reach for a Brock Bowers or something. But as of right now, I think no-brainer move is Malik Nabers.
Yeah. Seems to be at number 7, the Tennessee Titans. This is a big negative. Well, not big, but seems to be a consensus here. But I believe you don't already have them gone, so go ahead.
Yeah. The Titans' new head coach Brian Callahan brought in a good amount of new guys, a couple of new guys on the offensive line, and Lloyd Cushenberry, Sadiq Charles. Obviously, brought in Calvin Ridley. Lots of good work on the defensive side of the ball with Lajarius Sneed, Chido Awuzie. Like they have, I think, you know, one of my favorite off seasons was put together by this Tennessee team. But if they want to help their young quarterback, Will Levis, drafted last year in the second round, not second overall, but drafted last year, played fairly well, I would say. They need a little bit of more help from him. So with number 7 overall, I have the Titans selecting Joe Alt, offensive lineman. He's a left tackle out of Notre Dame. He's huge. The guy's 6'8", 6'9", 330. His dad was an offensive lineman, I believe, for your Chiefs. Went to Iowa, if I remember correctly. It's just in his blood. He's going to be a standout left tackle for a very long time. And him, Will Levis, Lloyd Cushenberry is a great center that they picked up from Denver. The three-headed monster at wide receiver, Hopkins, Ridley, and then maybe get something out of Treylon Burks finally. I really do like where this team is headed. And adding Joe Alt here at 7, which is a very real possibility in the draft itself, as well, I think would only go to help this team. They need both. They need to kind of address a couple more positions on the offensive line. That's going to be later. But Joe Alt is the best offensive lineman in the draft, or best tackle in the draft, I'll say. No-brainer here.
Yeah, you are chalk. That's actually minus 155. That is the one thing I've heard over the last few days that I think everyone agrees with is Joe Alt there to the Titans, which means that's not happening.
the real question is, like, if the Chargers stay pat at number 5, do they draft Joe Alt, the top offensive tackle in the draft, who's a left tackle, and they have a good left tackle, so there'd have to be some movement there, or do they go wide receiver? Chargers have one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the league right now with Quentin Johnson and Josh Palmer and Darius Davis, I believe. So, like, they could go wide receiver. Like I said before when we did their pick, I think they move back and they draft offensive line and receiver later. But if they stand pat at 5, it's a coin flip whether they go offensive line or wide receiver.
Ugh, can't figure that out. I'll find it. Okay, next up, number 8, the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, Atlanta has a pretty good roster. They've spent draft picks, draft capital the last few years on well-known, underutilized talent there between Drake London and then obviously Kyle Pitts has been, I don't want to say disappointing because it's not his fault, but disappointing. And they may have finally unlocked their ability by bringing in Kirk Cousins, which apparently is illegal tampering, but whatever. Doesn't matter to the NFL. So I do think that with this 8th overall pick, we do finally see the first defensive player go. Just to strengthen that side of the ball, it does need some love. So with number 8 overall, I have the Atlanta Falcons selecting Dallas Turner, pass rusher, edge out of Alabama. This could genuinely be any of the 3 first-round defensive ends or edge rushers, excuse me, whatever kind of style Atlanta wants. They could go Dallas Turner, Leiatu Latu, or Jared Verse. I think Dallas Turner is just kind of the more polished guy, ready to go. The other guys have some sort of knocks on them. Dallas Turner is ready to go out of the box and gets put on that offensive line or defensive line, excuse me, immediately to wreak havoc over the entire NFC South. So number 8 overall, very chalk pick. I'm well aware. Atlanta Falcons select Dallas Turner.
It's close. It's as close to chalk as you can get without being chalk. So,
is he not the favorite?
He is not the favorite.
Is he tied for the favorite?
No, it's plus it's plus 170 and plus 175, so you might as well be tied.
Yeah. So I assume it's him and then Leatu Latu?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it's close enough. Close enough to Chalk. We're still going to call you Chalk.
Could absolutely go either way on that, too. It's just what style they prefer. And then Latu has some injury concerns, which we'll talk about later once we get to him and not too many picks. That may scare some teams off.
At number nine, your Chicago Bears back on the clock. And again, we're not projecting trades, but do you see this as a spot that these guys would like to move out of?
Yeah, it depends on how the picks before go, right? I think if they don't have one of the three wide receivers, which if you're playing along at home, you're a weirdo, stop. But if you're playing along at home, you know that only two wide receivers have gone. In this scenario where they do have the chance to draft a top wide receiver, I think they would stick. If they don't, they may kind of reach for one of the top defensive guys. But I really do think that if they can't get one of the top three wide receivers, can't get one of the top tackle Joe Alt, I think they would want to move back. They do have a few positions they need to address. I know that Poles wants to acquire draft capital.
Don't they not have like a day three pick or something?
Yeah. And if you only move a couple spots, you know, then that's not a big deal. We saw them do it last year. They basically handed Jalen Carter to the Eagles so they could move back one spot, acquire a little bit more draft capital, and then draft Darnell Washington. It worked out perfectly fine for them. Could happen exactly the same this year. But in my draft, my favorite wide receiver in the draft is still available. I did a little bit of making sure what I wanted to happen in real life happens in my mock draft, because it's my mock draft. I can do that. So with the number nine overall pick, the Chicago Bears draft Rome Odunze, wide receiver out of Washington.
You want to hear the funny part?
What's the funny part?
That's the chalk pick for pick number nine.
You see, if the
and it's not Chargers close, actually. Like all these other ones are like, you could call it chalk because it's the top one. That's plus 140. The next closest player is plus 600.
Yeah. And I'd probably go with that next closest player, because this all kind of hinges on the Chargers going tackle or moving out rather than going wide receiver, which to me is a bigger need. I do think, you know, there's a good chance that the Chargers draft a wide receiver and they screw this whole thing up so the Bears don't get Rome Odunze. My mock, my rules, my pick. Rome Odunze to the Bears at number nine. It is a bit of a luxury if you consider the fact they have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. There's other things that they need. But Keenan Allen's getting older and did not play all the games last year. DJ Moore is great.
But he doesn't play them all this year.
Yeah. Definitely just like need that help. Plus, it pairs Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, who were jabbering back and forth on Twitter today. Maybe that's a sign of things to come. It does pair them up for the next 5 years to be the, you know, quarterback wide receiver of the future for the Bears.
All right, number 10, we have a pick that I think talked about the last time we were on the podcast, the New York Jets. There's a clear favorite here, and I think we all sort of kind of scratch our heads at it. But tell me that you line up chalk, and then we'll talk about it.
I did line up chalk. So I have number 10 overall. The Jets take Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. He is a little bit more than just a tight end. You know, I think any tight end you're taking in the first round has to be more than just, you know, line him up and block him, run a couple routes. He is basically an offensive weapon who can also block. It does feel to me like the Jets are on, you know, the last leg. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers will be gone. I believe after this year's contract's up. I've been seeing the signs that Saleh's out the door. But that will all depend on this draft. Joe Douglas, the GM, could be, packing up his stuff right now too, if they don't start winning. But I do think that this would be a good move for them for the future, and help them win this year. So Brock Bowers adds a lot of versatility that the team lacked last year. Obviously, they had bigger woes last year, but they were starting Xavier Gibson and Jason Brown, the undrafted guys, last year. Alan Lazard didn't really do much for them. They had some other guys from, I'm completely blanking right now, Randall Cobb came over, from Green Bay as well, and they weren't really starting the greatest offensive group. Now, Garrett Wilson, they did pick up Mike Williams. If he plays well, if he plays a whole season, I'm scared of the Jets. I don't know if he does. But adding another solid pass catcher like Brock Bowers, who can line up and block as well, frees up Tyler Conklin a little bit to do a little more blocking their current tight end. I think it makes a lot of sense and just gives them more options, which last year felt like they could have used some more options.
Yeah.
So Brock Bowers, number 10 overall. Like you said, that's the chalk, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely the chalk. Plus, I scrolled too far. It was still plus money because you're at 10. You can get shit can get wild. Yep. I saw some Chiefs page fantasy book, the Chiefs trading to 9 to get the Travis Kelce successor, and I was like, "What? You guys are stop it."
it could be done. Like Brock Bowers is that kind of guy. Just saying, like, oh, he'll be the first and obviously the best tight end. That's underselling him a little bit.
Sure.
I would encourage anyone go, you know, YouTube some Brock Bowers highlights. Imagine what he can do for your team. I really do. Like, I hate when tight ends go in the first round because I feel like no team is really in a position to draft a tight end. You know, They need other things. But this one, for the situation where the Jets are, where they kind of have to win this year, or else the last 2 years have been complete waste, I think this move makes sense. I don't love it. I think they probably should go offensive line, but makes
sense. I'm with you. All right. At 11, we have the first pick from the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, and this has played out in a way that I think the Vikings would be very happy with.
Yeah, I think they're running that pick to the podium.
Yes, they would, like, because right now the anticipation is that the Vikings would have to move up to get one of the top four quarterbacks. Playing along with my draft, fourth quarterback is still there. So with the number 11 overall pick, the Minnesota Vikings select J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. Do want to talk a little bit about J.J. McCarthy. I don't want to go long because everyone has. But he has, at every stop he's been in, he's won. He's been a champion. High school, middle school, apparently at some point, like when he was in high school, was offered to go to Iowa State. He didn't obviously end up going there. Could have been, but there's something to that. There's something to the mindset that he brings. There's something to his ability to lead and to will the guys around him to victory. He's not the biggest arm. He's not the best runner. He's not any of that, but he is the national champion. He's taken every team he's led basically deep into the playoffs or to a national championship. So J.J. McCarthy has it, whatever it is, he has it. And I think that he is kind of the perfect fit to lead Kevin O'Connell and the rest of this team that does have good veteran players, great wide receiver, two guys, you know, 1-2 punch there at wide receiver. JJ gets to go throw the ball to JJ. And I think it's going to be very good for the Vikings. It would be very good for the Vikings. And especially in this case where they don't have to move up, I do think they probably will have to move up, but in this case works out great for them. They get to stay pat and keep their draft picks and draft J.J. McCarthy at number 11.
At number 12, the Denver Broncos.
They need everything.
Yeah.
They need everything except for starting corner. Like, Patrick Surtain is their best player. They have some pieces on offensive line that I don't hate. And that's about it. So really, I do think they'll either move back. I don't know how many people are calling to move to number 12. They won a few too many games last year, which is probably why Russell Wilson got the axe. But they won enough games to really kind of screw them over. So I do think they stay pat. They draft probably the best player available for them. I don't think that they're a team that will necessarily reach on a quarterback. 12 is way too high to draft what would be the next quarterback, like a Bo Nix or a Michael Penix. That's way too high for me. I like those guys, but not here. So I think they just stay pat. They draft the best guy on their board. So with the number 12 overall pick, the Denver Broncos draft Laiatu Latu, edge rush out of UCLA. Could easily be the number one edge rush, pass rush taken. He did, though, does have a little bit of medical concerns. He medically retired during his college career with a neck injury, did come back, obviously played fantastic. He is a good combination of technique and physical ability. He's a smart player. I think he's going to be really good, but the lingering injuries does scare up, you know, will scare some teams off. Maybe it scares Atlanta off and he falls down here to number 12. I think Denver would be very happy with this. If they want to build an identity, it takes a lot more than just one draft pick to kind of do it on offense. But on the defensive side of the ball, they've added some good pieces. Levi Wallace was just added the other day. Cody Barton, Malcolm Roach, you know, some good depth kind of players. And I think putting in a premier edge rush there, which they've been looking for, they've been trying to find, does help them out and get them ready to hit the ground running. Going to have to chase Patrick Mahomes all over the field twice a year. Get some good exercise in that way, but they have to do something to they can't compete with the offensive output, so they have to do something to slow down the offensive output. So edge rusher, UCLA, Latu Latu, very fun to watch. I would encourage you to say go throw on his highlights. You're gonna have to see the little circle because it's hard to pick out on the offense, on the defensive line, but very fun watch.
13, the Las Vegas Raiders. Staying in the division.
The Raiders apparently have been calling, despite hearing no, have been calling Washington to try to move up to number two. I think the Raiders would love to draft, to be able to draft Jaden Daniels to get up to two or some combination there, whatever, where Jaden Daniels ends up a Raider. I don't think that happens. They're getting the brick wall from Washington there. So I do think that the Raiders have to kind of stay pat. Maybe draft a quarterback later. I think end of first round, beginning of second round, they could look at a Nix or a Penix, one of those kind of next tier of quarterbacks. But with this pick, they stay pat and they draft the best corner in the draft, a scrappy guy that they're willing to maybe take a chance on because he's from a smaller school. They go Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo. He maybe, you know, he's not like the top guy from the top school. But the Raiders have kind of shown that they're willing to color outside the lines a little bit and go for a guy that fits them. They did build their identity off of the defensive side of the ball last year. That really kind of is what showed up when Antonio Pierce became the interim head coach. Now the head coach was their defense, and they've added pieces on the defensive side of the ball. In free agency, they added Christian Wilkins. They have a really good kind of setup for their defensive line. But the secondary is questionable. Ja'Corian Bennett, Jack Jones, in and out, Brandon Faison, like Nate Hobbs, not really any household names there. So if they go out and they draft the first corner in the draft, Quinion Mitchell, I think he's a plug-and-play kind of guy and can help try to stymie, slow down Patrick Mahomes a little bit. Easier said than done, but this is where it starts.
At 14, we have the New Orleans Saints.
Nola need a few things as well. I do think that they should be exploring the idea of a quarterback, but at 14 and without a lot of draft ammo or anything like that, I don't think it's likely that they move up. They might have to go for one of those next tier Friday guys like a Penix or a Bo Nix. They do need some desperately need some help on their offensive line due to injuries. So I think they stick here and they draft one of the best offensive linemen in the draft. He's a versatile guy, Taliese Fuaga out of Oregon State. Do think he played multiple positions across the line, has snaps at all the positions, so he can come in and he can help them out quickly to address what is basically an aging offensive line that desperately needs some help. They did draft Trevor Penning out of UNI, I believe, a couple of years back to be their left tackle. Mm-hmm. That hasn't worked out well. He's kind of a hothead. Good pieces for the rest of the line. So getting a guy to come in, take over for Penning or fill in some of the gaps, I think would be a huge help to a New Orleans team that right now is pretty much forgettable all across the board.
Let's see. At 15, we have the Indianapolis Colts.
I think the Colts would be happy to somehow see a Brock Bowers fall. It could absolutely happen. You know, if the Jets don't take him at 10, where's the next spot he lines up at? Maybe
I think it's a free fall if he does get past 10. I also was going to point out, I will talk a little draft or a little odds later, but he's even money to fall in the top 10, 10 being that spot with the Jets. So if you firmly believe that's happening, it's even money.
Yeah. I like maybe if he does slip past 10, and the Jets go offensive line like they should, maybe like the Broncos are just like, say, fuck it. Here's the best guy. We'll figure out how to make him work. And they would draft Brock Bowers. In this case, Brock Bowers already gone. They could reach a little bit on what would be the fourth wide receiver, like a Brian Thomas. I don't have that happening. I just have the Colts stay and Pat drafting best guy available at a position of need. So with 15 pick overall, the Indianapolis Colts draft Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. Obviously played against better competition than Quinion Mitchell. It's a toss-up between which one of those two guys, you know, most people have as being the number one and the number two. I think they're pretty darn close. It's just comfort level with the teams, and I do think that the Raiders are a team that's more willing to take a shot on a guy from, I don't want to say a smaller school because Toledo is still a D1 school, right?
Sure.
But I think they're more willing to take a shot on that guy than the Colts. So the Colts have Terrion Arnold fall into their lap. They get to address a position of need at corner, take a great player. That's what Chris Ballard does, is hangs around, drafts good players. It works out most of the time. So I think 15, Terrion Arnold makes a lot of sense here. If for some reason Brock Bowers slid, they could go him. If they wanted to take a chance on a wide receiver, it's not even really a chance, but if they want to take a wide receiver, they could as well. I just think Terrion Arnold is too good to pass up.
Halfway point, Seattle Seahawks at 16.
And they need a few things as well. They drafted a couple tackles that have been stalwarts, left and right tackle, have been really good for them the last couple of years. But the interior of their offensive line needs some help. I don't think that's really like a position that John Schneider, the GM, likes to draft. I think I believe he said that the interior offensive linemen are usually overdrafted and overpaid. So I think he sticks away from that, even though it's a position of need. They did great job drafting corners the last couple of years. They're stacked at wide receiver. Like everything that this draft is loaded with, they kind of already have. Corners, wide receivers, tackles, they already have all those. I do think that eventually they will address the quarterback position. They probably want Michael Penix. Makes a lot of sense. Washington. But, yeah. You know, they'd have to do some snuggling to make that happen. Here at 16, though, I just think that they draft a versatile player who can help them out immediately in a tough division. Rotational pass rush guy that will help, you know, keep the pressure on the Niners team, Brock Purdy and Kyler and Matt Stafford for a couple of years. So with 16 overall, I have the Seattle Seahawks taking Jared Verse, edge rush out of Florida State. He falls into the same tier as Dallas Turner and Leiatu Latu. It really is just kind of which one of those three edge rushers guy, and those are the top three. Those are the three that are all going to go in the first round. It's just which one of those three do each team like. So this could be another pass rush. They could go defensive interior here. They did trade for Leonard Williams a couple years back and paid him, so I don't know that that's a premium position. So I just have them going with edge rush here, something that they've needed for a couple of years.
At 17, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. Jacksonville has one thing written on their draft board, and it's defensive back. They really need corners, safeties, as many of them as possible here. So I do think we've already seen the top two corners go off the board in Terrion Arnold and Quinion Mitchell. Jags do feel like they need a guy, so I think that they do kind of push. It's maybe a little bit of overdraft, but if you like someone, you get them. So with number 17 overall, I have the Jaguars selecting Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner from Alabama. They need a corner. He's the one there. Maybe they like a Dejean or a Wiggins or someone else better, but I think the pedigree of coming from Alabama really does line up, and they like those kind of guys from the SEC. So I think they go Kool-Aid McKinstry here, and they put him in there, and he's starting day one.
At 18, we have the Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati has been trying to fix the same issue for years and years and years. They've been trying to fix their offensive line. They've had different combinations. They've had different guys come in for 1 year. They've had veterans. They've drafted. They've done all these sorts of things, and it really hasn't quite worked out well. If you can keep Joe Burrow up, this is one of the best teams in the league. They're scary on offense, great on defense. But the injuries to Joe, the sacks, we've seen playoff games where he gets sacked 9-10 times. It's just a position that they need to fix. So with the number 18 overall pick, I have the Cincinnati Bengals drafting Troy Fatanu, tackle out of Washington there. The two tackles they currently have are Orlando Brown and Trent Brown, the Brown brothers. Not really brothers, but not long-term solutions from either of those guys to be a stalwart tackle there. I think if they draft Fatanu here, put him in, whatever works for him for 1 year, and then eventually he will take over the left tackle position and hopefully be the guy that's keeping Joe Burrow upright for years and years to come. So this is a slam dunk pick for them. I do think they go offensive line or defensive line here. They could go defensive interior if they wanted to, but the idea of getting a left tackle right away is just too appealing. So they go Fatanu and start him as soon as possible.
All right, we're on to the teams that made the playoffs. At 19, the Los Angeles Rams.
The Rams were what I figured they were one of the worst teams in the league last year when we talked before kickoff, before that week one. I had them as a bottom five team, and they surprised a lot of people, myself included. Put together a really good offense, played good defense, made it work with, you know, fifth-round pick Puka Nacua showed up. Kyron Williams came out of nowhere. The offense was really working for them, and the defense was going to be stout no matter what because Aaron Donald is there. Aaron Donald now gone. They need someone to fill up that hole in the middle. Kobe Turner's good. Michael Hoyt, pretty good too. As a pass rush guy, it just lines up too perfectly for them to stay here at 19. They could move up and down if they want, but it works out too perfectly for them to stay here and draft the top defensive tackle in the draft. So number 19 overall, L.A. Rams draft defensive tackle Byron Murphy II out of Texas. No-brainer. They need someone to fill up the middle there to kind of keep everything from spilling over and help out. They need a lot on the defensive side of the ball. They need some more help in the secondary. They need offensive line. They could do that as well, but it just makes too much sense for them to be able to stay here, let the draft come to them, and get a guy to replicate some of the production that Aaron Donald had.
Yeah, that's a name I've been watching. He's been creeping up draft boards. It could be smokescreen. I believe last week at being at, like, you can bet, you know, top 10 players going in the top 10. He started at like plus 750. This afternoon he was plus 300. He's currently plus 190 to go, or 160 to go inside the top 10. Just weird how these fucking things move, these draft lines, which are not indicators of fucking anything. I want to double down on this and let people know that anything can move. People betting on them will move these lines, so it's interesting to me to sort of watch these things in real time and see how drastically they move. They don't move like other lines that you see.
they don't move for any tangible reason. There's not someone from Byron Murphy's, well, maybe there is, but there's not someone from like a top 10 team saying, oh yeah, we're gonna draft Byron Murphy if he's available for us. That's not happening. It's just speculation. It's just insider talk. I'm hearing a rumor of this or that. I said it before when we talked about the Bears at number 9. If the top three wide receivers are gone, they could draft Byron Murphy. He could be their pick at number 9. I have him going 10 picks later.
I see him to the Rams. That's the spot that he tends to fall in a lot of mock drafts, and it's not usually the Bears that take him there. It's someone trading into that spot.
I would bet he goes higher than 19. But I don't think there's any line for that. I don't think anyone's taken that bet.
No, it's top five, top 10, first round. Those are the things that I've been looking at. Let's see. The Pittsburgh Steelers are up next at 20.
Yeah, they need a few things as well. I absolutely could see them drafting a wide receiver here, right? They traded away Deontay Johnson to the Panthers, if I remember correctly. They need a few things, but what they really need to kind of get back to their identity, it's going to be a big sea change kind of level for the Steelers this year. Russell Wilson, new quarterback, potentially Justin Fields getting in the action there. Couple of new starting wide receivers. I could see them drafting a wide receiver here, but I have them addressing one of their holes on the offensive line. They need a center. They need interior offensive line. So I go ahead and I give them the best interior offensive lineman in the draft, Graham Barton. He could play pretty much any position on the line. He'll probably end up being a guard or a center in the NFL. So with the 20th overall pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Graham Barton, offensive lineman out of Duke. Basically, they have a hole at center. They have a hole at guard. Fill them both with a guy who can do either. So they drafted offensive line last year, Roderick Jones, moved up in the draft to get him. I think they addressed that again, help out Russell Wilson, help out Najee Harris, help a young, different wide receiving core, and try to put some points on the board, because the Steelers have really struggled with that the last couple of years. We've seen that if the team doesn't have TJ Watt, their chance of winning games goes down pretty significantly. If the defense can't carry the offense, they don't really have a chance. They need to break that mold. So I think they stick with the offensive line, improve there, get back to what they want to do, run the ball, play good defense, good decisions out of their quarterback. That'll be a new one for them. And they could actually win some games that way in a stacked, very difficult AFC North.
Very, very true. 21 of the Miami Dolphins.
Miami could also, like, draft a wide receiver, do whatever they want. They have a pretty solid roster. They have, you know, great setup at wide receiver. The number three wide receiver is Braxton Berrios, which we talked about. They need some offensive line help. They need defensive line help since they let Christian Wilkins go. They cut Xavien Howard. Howard, is that right?
Yep.
That's right. Yeah, they correct. Cut Xavien Howard.
Sorry,
so
I was refilling the
they definitely need – they could go corner. They could go wide receiver. They could go defensive end since they lost both their defensive ends last year to injury. So they could shore up some strength there. I think that they go for a position on the offensive line that they need some help with. And draft Olufashanu, tackle out of Penn State, with the 21st overall pick here. It's going to be a big offensive lineman draft. I think the betting line right now is over under 9.5, with money being on the under. So basically speculation that it's going to be over. Need help on both lines. I think going for that offensive line, helping Tua out a little bit, helping that offensive line work a little bit. We can kind of see the structure. We can kind of see the outline of what they're building on offense, and it's very scary. They just didn't have everyone kind of together at the same time last year. If they do and the offensive line is healthy and popping off, I do think this is a very scary team. So drafting a guy like Olufashanu really goes to help with depth and fill in some of the gaps for injuries, which we saw dramatically last year. And could end up taking over one of the positions within the next couple of years.
22, the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, birds need a lot.
Uh-oh.
They basically fell apart last year. Like, mm-hmm. After Dom was gone, no one wanted to play anymore. Fell apart primarily because of the linebacking position and the secondary. They had two 30-year-old corners. Starting last year, they got old corners now, Darius Slay, James Bradbury. They had Kevin Byard in last year too. Like, they brought back CJ Gardner-Johnson, but I do think that they absolutely need a shot of youth into the secondary. So with the number 22 overall pick, I have the Philadelphia Eagles selecting Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa. Obviously, being from Iowa, we've seen a lot of Cooper DeJean. We know what he can do on the offensive or on the defensive side of the ball. We know what he can do on special teams. I think that the Hawkeyes should have let him play a little quarterback this year. Got to be better than Deacon Hill. He played quarterback in high school as well. Should have let him throw the ball around.
Couldn't have hurt.
There is a conversation about whether he will be a corner in the league or a safety in the league. Right now listed as corner. We'll have to see. Obviously, he had the injury. We'll see how he comes back from that as well.
Yeah.
But I do think having a young, versatile player like him to play in the secondary for the Eagles, maybe return some kicks, maybe do some work on the special teams.
Kind of low-key think that maybe this new kickoff rule helps his draft prospect just slightly. Because you're actually going to, in theory, return kicks, and he can do that. Yeah. We've seen that. I mean, assuming that he's healthy and all that, right? I do think that might help his... I don't. Maybe it's a tiebreaker, right? If it comes down to this guy or this guy, well, he can do this too. So maybe, you know, we're gonna go with him. But I'd love to see him just slip on down the board, and then maybe Kansas City have a shot at jumping up to get him. But you know, I can live in my pipe dream until it's not available anymore. That's what I do.
Honestly, 22 is probably low for him.
I think so too, Frank, but
like PFF in their mock draft simulator loves Cooper DeJean. I do think that the questions about the injury and the position maybe shake that a little bit when the real NFL draft comes around. But 22 to me felt like this would be very lucky for the Eagles to have him fall to them at 22.
So I think most of the guys at the Ringer have him at right around that position, right, or at 22.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the Jags, like I said when we got to the Jags pick, that all they have written on their board is defensive back. They would love Cooper DeJean. It's just where do they see him playing on day one?
You have to have a plan for him.
I think that has it shaken out a little bit here. But Philly would be awesome in Philly. Be wild.
Yep. At 23, we have the Minnesota Vikings via the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I obviously think the 11 pick that the Vikings have in this 23 pick probably get packaged with something else. They move up, they draft J.J. McCarthy, blah, blah, blah. They're not picking here. But in this draft, when they stay pat, they get to draft one of my favorite players in the draft. I think he is going to be really good. I've talked about him as a potential Bears target at number 9. That's a little high. If the Bears move back, they could move back a little bit and draft this guy and be perfectly happy. So with the number 23 overall pick, the Minnesota Vikings select Johnny Newton, Gershon, he prefers to be called Johnny Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois. An electric player, does help them out on a defensive side of the ball, obviously on the line, helps them, stop the run and frees up some of the other guys, eats space in the middle, can rush on his own as well. It just seems like he's an NFC North kind of player, you know? I don't know. He's from Illinois. Maybe I'm just making the connection there. But he just feels like a down and dirty defensive lineman just tearing apart the NFC North. And in this situation, he's tearing apart for the Minnesota Vikings.
At 24, we have the Dallas Cowboys, the last team to lose in the wild card round.
Oof. Don't they know it?
It's broken out on the website I'm looking at.
The Dallas Cowboys have had a hell of an offseason, right? They didn't really add many players. They lost a lot of talent. Some veteran players are gone, right? They lost Tyron Smith on the offensive line. Apparently, they have dealt with that. Tyler Smith just goes in there. They lost some help on the defensive side of the ball. All they've really done to fill anything is pick up Eric Kendricks, who played with Mike Zimmer when they were in both in Minnesota, Minneapolis. So Dallas needs a lot of stuff. They could draft a wide receiver. They could just go pat and draft offensive linemen like they kind of like to do. But I think that they need a little bit of depth in the secondary on the defensive side of the ball. When you're paying Dak as much as you're paying him, you kind of have to be like, okay, you take care of the offense, we'll fix the defense, and we'll go from there. So with the number 24 overall pick, the Dallas Cowboys select Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. The Cowboys have been pretty good the last handful of years of just drafting good players and letting them figure it out, or letting the defensive coordinator figure it out. Could end up moving Wiggins to just kind of being an extra corner for a couple of years and then figure out what's going on with Dron Bland, Trayvon Diggs. Jordan Lewis has been a good nickelback there as well, but I think a guy like Nate Wiggins, who is a little bit undersized, he could absolutely go before this, but he's a little bit undersized. He knows how to hit. He knows how to thump guys. Like, his size has not been a deterrent, but I think if he does slide like this, I do think that Dallas would gladly pick up the card and run it up to the board just to grab another good player and figure out what to do with him later.
Moving on to the teams that lost in the divisional round. First up, the Green Bay Packers at pick number 25.
The Packers have a good young roster. I know we're going to say this a bunch about teams in this kind of range, but they've found gems across the board. Like the wide receivers that they've drafted, you know, second round, fourth round guys, Bo Melton as, you know, undrafted guy, or they picked up from Seattle. Dontavian Wicks is a fifth round pick. Like they're really good about drafting, filling holes, and setting up this team with young, cheap guys that they drafted later in the round. So I do think this is one of the best drafting teams in the league. They did lose David Bakhtiari. Now, he hadn't played for a couple of years or played spotty for the last couple of years. They did lose David Bakhtiari, so they have a hole at left tackle. If they played football right now, my favorite phrase of this draft apparently, but if they played football right now, their left tackle would be Rashid Walker, a seventh-round pick from a couple years back. Not great. So I do have them addressing the offensive line here. So with the 25th overall pick, the Green Bay Packers draft Amarius Mims, tackle out of Georgia. Great fit here. Was gonna sidle in nicely. Amarius Mims, probably most known for the little clip of him that was going around on social media of him when he was like in 10th grade being a foot taller than everyone else on his football team. Love to see that. Always cracks me up. But huge, massive man. Who will just come in here and strengthen offensive line, strengthen what is now Jordan Love's team. Jordan Love, I think by all accounts, showed that he is the future of this franchise, and just strengthen the offensive line with a 6'8", 340-pound behemoth just helps him that much more.
At number 26, Ryan, we have your actual team, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, Tampa needs a few things, right? Like they lost some defensive linemen in Shaq Barrett. He's gone. Joe Tryon-Trenka, the first round pick from a couple years back, has not really like stepped up to be an elite pass rush. Needs some help on the offensive line with the interior kind of falling apart, or with younger guys. Could go for a third kind of wide receiver. Brian Thomas is still available. I'll shout it out right now. So they could do all sorts of things. Corner, I would love if they draft a corner. But
one corner specifically, but not here.
I mean, not here. I mean, maybe later. TJ Tampa would be awesome, but this feels a little much, a little rich.
You've been pounding the payment for that, so I had to get it out.
I would love it. I would love it. But for here, I have them sticking and kind of building an identity through their offensive line. That was obviously when Tom was there, they played great with Tom. They played good defense there, but they had a stout offensive line. Ryan Jensen was the center there. He's been injured. He was the nasty that the offensive line played with. So with this 26 pick, I have them addressing the center position. I know maybe not a lot of centers drafted in the first round, but I have them going for Jackson Powers Johnson, JPJ, out of Oregon. Big guy, but surprisingly nimble, which is what you want from your center. I think he's going to kind of hopefully come into the league and bring a bit of, I don't want to say nastiness, but a little bit of attitude there that can help bolster the guys around him, because the offensive line, decent, still have obviously Tristan Wirfs is fantastic, but not what it used to be in the years past. So I think adding a guy like JPJ can really solidify there and help out what looks to be the future of the Bucs for the next at least few years, Baker Mayfield, keep him upright. Get that running game going. Rashad White was a revelation last year. Was fantastic for real football and fantasy football. Keep all of that going on the offense, and then address the defense, the defensive deficiencies later by adding a corner, TJ Tampa, adding a couple pass rushers, and basically filling out depth later. But getting a guy to play center, to anchor the center of that offensive line, I think will set this team up for the next handful of years. And I mean, if this happens, you know, I don't know that a team's rushing up a card to draft a center. They should. I don't know if it happens, but I would love this pick.
We're down. We're getting down there. At number 27, we have the Arizona Cardinals, who I assume when they made this trade thought this pick would be much earlier in the draft, as they got it from the Houston Texans.
Yeah, Texans basically did like a one-year flip. I don't know. It's like one of those house renovation shows where everything goes right. Cardinals are probably a little bummed about this, maybe why they're still wheeling and dealing. But if they do stand here, like they have a ton of holes. I think I said earlier they have 6 picks in the first 90, so they're going to address a lot of their holes, but they have a lot that they need to fix. With the first pick, I had him going Marvin Harrison Jr. Everyone has that. No surprise there. I think addressing the offensive side of the ball, again, just helps make Kyler better, makes that offense work a little bit better, takes some of the pressure off of the defense, which still has some tinkering to get through. So with the 27th pick in the NFL draft, I have the Arizona Cardinals drafting, you guessed it, another center, Zach Frazier, center out of West Virginia. Stout guy, you know, what, 6'3", 3'13", 3'20, just going to clog up the middle, bring that kind of extra oomph that this offensive line needs. Right now, their offensive line is in shambles. They drafted a Paris Johnson Jr., one of the top tackles last year, brought over Jonah Williams from Cincinnati, who's been a little here or there. But the interior of the offensive line definitely needs some help, and adding a guy like Zach Frazier, I think, would really help them. If you're playing along at home, again, you're a sick fuck. Stop it. But that means that two centers go in the first round, which likely isn't happening. So one of those has to go. But in this case, I like both these picks. I think that the kind of building from the inside out is something that the Cardinals need to do. Basically, when you're doing an entire – basically rebuilding an entire roster, we've seen a lot of teams – get successful by building both of those lines. I started last year with Paris Johnson Jr., adding another interior offensive lineman. This year, adding Marvin Harrison Jr., that's your luxury pick, but really kind of sets up this franchise to hopefully be good and compete in that division for years to come. They're going to do a lot of work throughout the rest of the draft, but getting a guy like Frazier here would be like not a slam dunk, but like a layup, like a solid layup.
Sure. Last team to lose in the divisional round, and they lost a lot of pieces this offseason. A lot of needs, yes. The Buffalo Bills.
And this is another position where I kind of just altered the draft to make what I wanted to happen.
It's your mock draft. Do what you want.
Yeah, it's my mock draft.
I heard that.
I can do what I want. Is this going to be accurate and valid? I don't know. Probably not.
Should people bet on this?
I have Brian Thomas falling all the way down here as the fourth wide receiver. I do think that the book right now, the DraftKings probably has like the over-under for wide receivers in the first round at 6, and having the fourth go at 28 is not good. 6.5 is not good for their line, but it's a position that the Bills desperately need a wide receiver. They have probably one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the league right now if you were just to go – based on roster. Obviously Josh Allen gets to cover up a lot of that because he gets paid a lot of money and he has the ability, but adding a guy like Brian Thomas does kind of help at least a little bit fill the role left by Stephon Diggs, who is now down in H-Town with that new H logo on the helmet. So we don't get to see necessarily like, oh, how does Josh Allen do without any premier wide receivers, because here at 28 they add Brian Thomas.
Yeah, the Bills, another thing you can bet on if you'd like to have some fun is a position drafted by team, like their first drafted player.
Yeah.
And the Buffalo Bills to draft a wide receiver with their first pick in the draft is -280. So
that probably has to be like one of the biggest outside of, you know, the top three teams drafting a quarterback or whatever.
Sure.
That has to be one of the biggest or like smallest or whatever lines.
Scrolling quick. Steelers with an offensive lineman -350.
See, but that feels so cheap because the offensive line, that's five different positions.
Well, that's why it's such a small number. Offensive line for the Titans, -330.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those are going to be offensive line that are going to jump your odds.
If Brian Thomas is gone, which he very well could be, shit, he could go 10,
Giants
13 picks earlier. Like, he could go wherever. He could go in the top half of this draft, no problem. I still think Bills probably draft a wide receiver, whether it's A.D. Mitchell or Worthy or Keon Coleman or Ricky. I don't think Ricky Pearsall will be in the first, but any other guys, I think that no matter what, this is a wide receiver at 28 for the Bills.
Vikings to take a quarterback -320 with their first pick in the draft.
With their first pick? I would
first
bet
pick in the draft.
I would bet no on that. I don't know. There's just too many factors.
Biggest number I've seen, the New Orleans Saints to take an offensive lineman, -400.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, these ones you can't parlay together. You can take like the first round picks and parlay them together, or like the top 10 picks. Yeah, there's some. I'm gonna play with this. At 29, the first team to lose in the conference championship, the Detroit Lions.
And they're basically stacked roster wise, right? They have really good young players. They have I think they're set at quarterback. They drafted Hendon Hooker last year in the third round too, so there's no like thought about anything on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think maybe eventually like the interior of the offensive line is getting a little older. Graham Glasgow has been in the league for 8 or 9 years. Frank Ragnow, 6-7 injured years. They brought in Kevin Zeitler. So maybe interior offensive linemen, maybe they address the future of their left tackle, because Decker has been in the league for 8 years, 8 or 9 years as well. So maybe they just go there. But I think any good team that's in a position where they have a good roster can kind of sit back and add a guy that will be needed in limited situations. And in this case, a rotational guy. So I have with the 29th overall pick, I have the Detroit Lions taking Chop Robinson, edge rush, out of Penn State. Prototypical size, I believe, but didn't have like great production in college. That doesn't necessarily translate one-to-one. It could just be a situational thing, but ends up in a really good position here where he doesn't have to come in and play, you know, 75% of the game, because they kind of are already set with obviously with Aiden Hutchinson, and they did bring in Marcus Davenport, former first round pick, and they have all sorts of different guys, Zach Pascal and Kaminsky and all sorts of guys that they can have in the rotation there. So adding another guy in lets him kind of develop and mature and work on some of the finer things that you need once you get to the NFL. So having Chop Robinson here, I think, makes a lot of sense. Just knowing the Lions, I think it's offensive line or defensive line. In this case, it's defensive line.
Well, something you can make a little money on. The Detroit Lions with their first pick right now, plus 135 at cornerback. Then offensive line, plus 240, defense line / edge, plus 300. So
a little
money there to be made. Next up, the Baltimore Ravens at pick 30.
Ravens are another one of those teams that's like, okay, you have a good overall team. They did lose a good number of players in various positions, so they need some help on offensive line. Could always use more edge rushers. What the Ravens are really good about, and I've said about a couple other teams too, they just like let the good players fall to them. They don't necessarily move. They're more willing to move back than to move forward.
Always.
They probably need some help on the offensive line. They definitely need some help at wide receiver. So with the 30th pick in the NFL draft, I have the Baltimore Ravens selecting Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia. Has some time under Todd Monken, knows the offense, gets to play here in a situation where he can move all over the board. I don't know that this is like a chalk pick, but I really love my own pick here.
Far from a chalk pick.
There we go.
Ravens taking a wide receiver with their first pick, plus 700.
Yeah. If Chop Robinson weren't drafted, I could see them drafting Chop Robinson. They could absolutely draft one of the other myriad of offensive linemen that will be available. Any of those things would not surprise me. I just love this pairing of McConkey with their kind of current wide receiver group. Zay Flowers and Bateman has been a bust. Nelson Aguilar has been fine. But pairing him with Zay Flowers, getting them under Todd Monken, and having Lamar just be able to throw it to reliable guys, right? They'll get Mark Andrews back. We saw the maturation of Isaiah Likely last year. Having another weapon like McConkey keeps them from having to rely on Lamar running or handing the ball off to Derrick Henry 100 times a game. We saw Keaton Mitchell get injured last year. They're basically cursed at the running back position. So having another wide receiver, I think, would really help their offense progress, and their defense is good enough where it honestly, like, handles itself. We'll see how new defensive coordinator Zach Orr does, filling in for Mike McDonald, who has gone to Seattle now. So we'll see how that does. But adding another offensive weapon here for Lamar, the MVP, two-time MVP Lamar, no-brainer.
All right, down to the last two at 31, the San Francisco 49ers.
I got to ask, are you seeing the writing on the walls yet for the Chiefs pick?
No.
Okay, cool. That's another one where I made sure the Chiefs got this.
I'm not crossing that. I think other than like the fantasy booking that I've come up with where they move up for Dejean, I think I've decided who I'd like to see him go get, which I wouldn't have told you this 4 weeks ago. Okay. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it coming up.
Yeah, we'll get there.
The San Francisco 49ers, though, right now.
San Francisco 49ers. Worth being said, I did see today that the Niners have basically said, if you want Brandon Ayuk, we'll need a first round pick. So there's a world where Brandon Ayuk is gone.
Sure.
For a first round pick. This year, next year, whatever. There's probably some teams who should do that. Who should, instead of drafting a wide receiver, although the money's different.
That's the problem, is you're going to have to pay him after this season, I believe. Or is he fifth year?
Some teams have money.
That's true. Mine doesn't, so not an option. Because I'd be in if it were just the pick.
Yeah,
we'll give you 32 for him, bud.
So I actually do have a bet right now. I placed a fucking handful of bets.
I'm sure you have a couple. I'm looking forward to hearing about them.
Basically, like, I think it's 3-1 that the Niners draft a wide receiver.
Oh.
First, with their first pick.
I can tell you.
I didn't do that here. I did what Niners fans are probably yelling at me to have them do. With the 31st overall pick, I have the San Francisco 49ers drafting Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. They've spent a lot of draft capital on defensive line. They spent a lot of free agency time on acquiring defensive players, right? Not a lot has been done for their offensive line, which is a little dicey. But getting a guy like Guyton is huge. He is another one of those huge tackles, 6'8", 322. Adding him in here, letting him just be a backup probably for the first couple of games and then seeing what he's got when inevitably, unfortunately, someone gets hurt. Having that kind of depth can really help sustain Brock Purdy and this offense through basically the lean times where they've had to scrape together offensive line, start so many different combinations. Having another guy here that's drafted highly like this who can come in and play, I think would be a great get for them. I know that Niners fans are upset that they've spent so much draft capital the last few years drafting other positions. So finally addressing the offensive line here, I think, is a win-win.
All right. Last one. Pick 32.
Which leaves your Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs here.
Yeah.
I do think there's a few different ways they could go.
Mm-hmm.
People have spent a lot of time yelling that they need to draft a wide receiver. They probably need some offensive line help, potentially some interior offensive line help if Trey Smith ends up. I think this is the last year of his contract, so mm-hmm. if they don't extend him or he could end up elsewhere, he could get traded during the draft, anything could happen there. Great player that they got for a steal because people were scared off for some medical concerns. They could go corner. They could go defensive line. They could go whatever. I like this wide receiver thing. And I basically set this up, this whole entire draft, 31 picks, so that with the 32nd pick, the Kansas City Chiefs draft wide receiver Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. There are a little bit of concerns about him and production and this and that. I'm not concerned about that at all. He was at Georgia first and transferred to Texas. Came into Georgia as a freshman and basically earned himself a role. That's impressive to me just in and of itself. Then what he did at Texas has been phenomenal. Obviously, Texas is a pretty good team this year. They were a playoff team. They lost to Washington. But he is a big reason why and a big part of the maturation of Quinn Ewers, him as well as the guy who will be drafted on Friday, Xavier Worthy, Jatavion Sanders, the tight end, all are going to get drafted this year. But Adonai Mitchell was my favorite guy of the Texas offense. So I like A.D. Mitchell here. Could slip a little bit. I believe he has diabetes and people are a little worried about that. I want to say I saw that somewhere, but could end up being something that he could slip. He didn't necessarily have like insane production, didn't have, you know, didn't win the Blitnikoff like Marvin Harrison, or didn't have the gaudy numbers like LSU or Washington had, but Adonai Mitchell is a fantastic player, both at Texas and at Georgia. Just kind of starting where he did with Georgia and getting into the lineup there and getting some meaningful reps when he was a freshman, when he was young, shows me that he has what it takes to make it in the league. So I like Adonai Mitchell here. Could easily be gone. Like, he could be the guy that goes at 28. Brian Mitchell could go way earlier. I just think that if he's available, Kansas City Chiefs would be fools not to draft him. Now, obviously, they've done a good job of not having to draft wide receivers and drafting the other positions and done just fine. So Maybe they don't love the idea of drafting a wide receiver in the first round. Maybe they trade out and it's a, someone comes up for a quarterback, any of that. But I love the fit here of Mitchell with this Chiefs offense, getting to play with Mahomes and Kelce and all those guys. We did it.
We did it. We got them all. For the record, just because I agree, school, I agree, position. We just didn't quite line up there at the end.
You think it's worthy?
I like worthy. I like the burner. I think it would really help.
Yeah.
Really, though we haven't fucking drafted wide receiver well at all. So I don't know. I'd like to see him maybe go corner, keep the defense going. I think our wide receiving core will be okay. We're obviously going to lose. Going to lose Rice for a handful of games at least, bare minimum next season. But, you know, I think they got by. I still, the Chiefs fans will just turn it off after I say it. I still think that given an offseason and maybe some work, Kadarius Toney can still be a guy that gets some work in. So,
yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I don't hate the pick either. I was not – if you had told me 4 weeks ago that I would have been saying wide receiver at that position – or that spot, I would have disagreed. But I think the Rashee Rice thing has a lot of us Chiefs fans a little spooked.
Rashee Rice, and then like Hollywood Brown obviously was picked up as a free agent, but that, which I really like that, but anyone behind him, like you said, Rashee's probably out for, I would say, starting point is 8 games, probably winnow that down to like 4 or 6. But
yeah, I was thinking
could potentially be gone for half the season.
But yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Depends on when it all finishes out. That's how the NFL usually does these things. Ryan, what's I wanted to look at this because interesting things that didn't pop up on your board there. Someone like a Michael Penix. What's the story? I guess I'm jumping ahead of myself. What's the story at the end of night one? Is it the quarterback? We had the 4 quarterbacks and there are still 2 available. Is that the talking point? I feel like that's the normal go to is what quarterback didn't go.
Yeah, it'll probably be, and it could absolutely be something where maybe the Lions feel like they can get a good pass rusher at 20 or, you know, in the start of the second round. So the Lions could be open for business and someone like the Raiders could move up for Penix or for Bo Nix. Could be the Broncos move up into the end of the first round for Penix or Bo Nix. But those are the tier 2, probably day 2 guys. After that, pretty big fall off. So, but I do think those guys are day 2 guys. It's probably the story is probably essentially like, look how the NFL has matured, because this year is poised to break the record for most players drafted, or most offensive players drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
The line on DraftKings right now is 21.5. The record is 19. So basically they're projecting, DraftKings and all the sports books are projecting that record gets broken. And what, 2/3 of this draft is offensive players between offensive linemen, which I think will be the bulk of it, probably 9-10 offensive linemen. And then wide receivers could be upwards of 7-8 wide receivers drafted here as well. So I don't know that anyone's going to be saying, oh, why didn't Michael Penix go, or why didn't Bo Nix go, or this guy or that guy. I think it will just be like, look at how offensive centered and by design offensively centered the NFL has become. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it's draft classes don't really determine, you know, football or, you know, how the game is going. It's just a matter of who is available at what year. Like last year we saw, you know, the number 3 over player was Will Anderson after 2 quarterbacks. Like, it's always going to be quarterback heavy. And then you're going to see a lot of defensive guys some years and a lot of offensive guys others. So I think this is just kind of a perfect confluence of QB needy teams, QB heavy draft, offensive line, offensive player, playmaker heavy draft. And that's how the first part of the draft, this first round, is going to go. Everything will get made up. What was the line from Moneyball? We'll make it up in the aggregate.
Yeah.
It'll get made up over the course of over the course of the draft. It'll probably end up being the same. It always is, like 55, 45 or whatever the split offense and defense is. It'll be that way. It's just there's not premier pass rushers like there were in years past. We don't have a premier like top 10 corner like we had last year with Devin Witherspoon. We don't have, you know, defensive tackles, Byron Murphy could make the top 10, but last year it was like there's slam dunks with multiple guys. So this year is just going to be offensive heavy in the first round. We will see some franchises essentially being reset. The Bears will hit the reset. Washington will hit the reset. And then probably Minnesota will hit the reset. And we'll see really what the intentions of some of these coaches are. I'm more interested in like some of the first-time head coaches getting the draft. We saw what Brian Callahan in Tennessee has done with the free agency. What's his thinking like in the draft? I don't know. I like to see some of the teams that are just historically good at drafting as well. Like we all panned the Lions last year for their first round for the two picks in the first round last year with Gibbs and Jack Campbell, and guess what? That turned out pretty good. So teams that are good at drafting will continue to be good at drafting.
That's your mouth to God's ears. Bets that you really like?
You pointed out earlier, I think Byron Murphy to go in the top 10. I got it at plus 160, so I put a couple bucks on that.
Yeah.
Zach Frazier is the center I had going to the Cardinals at 27. He is plus 300 to be drafted in the first round. So I went a little bit outside the margins on that, but put a couple bucks on that. You can bet it's 200 or plus 200, 2-1 that the Bucks will draft an offensive lineman with their first round pick.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start looking through some of those. I really liked some of those. Yeah, that's interesting. I do like. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Tell me, minus 145, the exacta for the top four picks: Caleb Williams, Jalen Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean,
that'd be chalk.
Chalk.
The fear would be that someone moves up to number four for J.J. McCarthy. That would throw the whole thing off. But
well, you can get that at plus 320.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll stare at this all day tomorrow is what will happen. So
I did bet, and this was a long time ago.
Uh-oh.
By a long time ago, I mean a couple weeks ago probably.
That's a long time ago to me.
Plus 850 that the Raiders would draft Jaden Daniels. Seems far-fetched right now, but at the time seemed plausible. Still, it is not Thursday. They have not announced the second pick yet. Still is plausible, but I don't see that likely.
Indeed. All right, Ryan, any closing thoughts as we roll into the draft?
I would be remiss if I didn't point out this Bears second pick. We talked about it a little bit at the time, but this pick 9 is very curious. Because we know that the Bears are drafting Caleb. We know that what they've done this offseason, last offseason, they could stand there at 9 and draft a guy that's going to be a stud for 10 years. They could move up. I talked with Adam, our Bears fan. I could see the Bears moving up to number 4 or number 5 potentially and drafting Joe Alt. And then, boom, you're set quarterback, left tackle for the next 15 years or whatever. Like I could absolutely see that. I would love to see them go defensive line. I'd love to see them bolster the middle with one of the top two defensive tackles, but really I think there's no way the Bears lose the first round. They got two top 10 picks, two slam dunk picks here. Love it.
Fair enough. I don't disagree. I think it should be a fun one. I think I was trying to find the exact stat because you sort of background listen to some things. I think I was listening this afternoon and someone said that the latest a defensive player had ever gone was like 8 or 9, and we're staring that in the face this year. So could be interesting to see that too.
Yeah, I did put a little bit of money on Byron Murphy being the first defensive player taken as well. Like I said, when we were talking about 8 with the Falcons, it's really like who or what do you like?
So yeah, I think you're that way with both that position and the first O-lineman off the board. You could ask 10 teams and get I'd even split. I can't get an even split, but a split on the answers. So really just depends on team, the scheme, and those teams could move out. Who knows? All right, Ryan, I appreciate you doing all of this. We're gonna come back at you guys early next week to do the draft grades, as it were. Maybe I don't know. We'll talk about the important stories, anything that we really liked. In theory, talk about our teams. I guess I'll let Ryan talk about the Bears and the Bucks.
There you go.
What they did, if we liked it, didn't like it, get on the record. That way when we're wrong, we have audio proof of it, as we do. So, guys, enjoy the draft this weekend. Like I said, get in on that contest. Make sure you're putting your picks in. See if you can beat Ryan. You've already got his picks. You got a little advantage. Yeah. If you can run off his picks and change, just tweak slightly and beat him.
Feels like cheating.
It does a little bit, but you know, this is how this works. Make sure you're following us on Twitter specifically over the next few days. Ryan not only is our draft guy, but he runs our Twitter. So plenty of good things to come there. I feel like he's usually a really good follow on draft night. Lots of things happen, and you know, his 12 friends get involved, and we'll see what happens. Should be a fun time.
Yeah, sure. We'll see what the 11th or 12th are talking to me about. Yep. Screaming to me like the Green Goblin.
Could in fact be. But until then, make sure you guys are following us, all the things. Give us the likes, the ratings, the reviews. Subscribe, that way you know when the podcast hits, because we're bouncing around the timeline a little bit. We're gonna try to get it out to you as early as possible this week, following up on the draft. But you know, construction and family life and everything be damned. We'll see what we can do. Ryan, again, like I said, I appreciate you doing all this. This is your heavy lifting time of year. We're going to make you do it one more time next week to sort of go over things, and then we'll roll hard into off-season mode and go from there. So
love doing it. So
it's fun. It's a good time. All right. So until next week, Ryan, I'm not even going to give you fuckstick status.
Boom. That's all I'm going for.
I'll call Jam the fuckstick because, you know, he's going to watch his kids or something. right. Speaking of which, I got to go pick up my kid from dance class. So until next week, this has been Just Another Football Show.
Bye.
See ya. That's one scene, one, all in their places. Love.